I entitled the message. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 to 14. Last week I mentioned that, and this week I'm going to speak about this again. Now, whenever we take a drive to another place, from one point to another point, while taking that journey, you will always try to what we call find, if it's a long journey, you will find some time to rest or even to stop by to pump in more petrol or even to stop by for a break or a cuppa and have your meal whatsoever, because it's a long journey. And in that journey, you always look for those pit stops. Why? So that you can continue to reach your destination. And Bible tells me, likewise, Paul wrote to the people in Philippi. And when he spoke to them, who happens to be the first church he founded, and he wrote this, chapter 3, verse 12 to 14. And I'm going to read to you. Perhaps you already know about it last week. Let me read to you from verse 12. Not that I have already obtained all these, which means he has not reached his destination. He has not reached that place yet. Or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. It appears as though that Paul has a spiritual dissatisfaction. Now, bear in mind, in our standard of achievement today, Paul's achievement will probably receive accolades, awards, or will be acknowledged by the Christians as one highly esteemed. Yet this man, his statement shows that he has not fully perfected his Christian walk. I thought that was amazing. Because the Greek word tells me that he is striving to reach the goal. He's still stretching his muscles to reach that very place. His incomplete growth will probably be like yours and mine. We have not completed our journey. So because of that, he declared three striving activity. The words are very clear. He says, press on, straining towards, or press on towards. It gives you the idea that he is really exerting something within him to reach the goal. I do not know about you as an individual, but if I look at Paul's strategy of forward living, we have to have that attitude of stretching, even though there are times we can be tired, it can be difficult, yet he wants us to stretch. The reason he expressed his intention is because if you read earlier verses, he says the greatest thing for him is to know Christ, to share in his suffering, and ultimately he desired to reflect the purity of that image of Jesus Christ. None of us here today would ever deny that we have not reached where God wants us to be. And I pray that you too will stretch like the way Paul stretched himself forward, because he has not reached where God has called him to be. This is a magnitude of a great opportunity for you and I, in order to have great accomplishment and achieve, we need to stretch. And Paul mentioned three vital considerations that inspired him to exert his energy to move forward. And I thought these three vital considerations that was within Paul's mind that causes him and motivated him to stretch himself, to run for it, to reach the goal. And I could see that the strain and that the muscles been pulled. And as I began to realize his consideration, I thought to myself, these are some of the considerations that I need to have likewise. First of all, he actually said, Christ took hold of me. Amen? Christ took hold of me. You know, if somebody were to take hold of you and grab your arm and say, come, I believe there's something in his mind saying, you are the one, and I'm going to show you something. Christ took hold of Paul. You know something? When I read that scripture, the thought came to my mind from the interpretation of that scripture is this. Paul is setting up a future within the whole entire passage because he's talking about reaching. So he has not reached yet, but he's reaching. And he's setting up that future. And in that future, Christ is showing a personal interest in your life. He says, Christ took hold of me, Paul said. That means Christ has a personal interest in my life. And that begs a question. The question is this. Your thoughts about your future, would it be the same as God's future for you in his mind? In other words, did we set our future away or within God's range? Now, to illustrate my point is this. This particular Olympic game, there was a rifle shooter that was in the first placing. All he needs to do is just to shoot at the target. He doesn't need to have a bullseye. As long as within the target or within the parameter of the board, he would definitely be a winner. So he aimed and he shot. And then you can literally see the whole bullet went straight right to bullseye. And he was so happy. Not until the judges said he shot the wrong board out of the range. And because of that, he lost the gold medal. I believe with all my heart that whatever our future is must always be moved at or designed within the future of God for you in his mind. We have to find our future within his future for ourselves. Did you and I move away from God's range or God's plan? I know very well that Christ has prepared the future for all of us. How many of you believe that? Somebody say amen. Christ has prepared the future for you and for me. And as I began to see the way Paul was writing, I believe the future that he was talking about involves in Christ's resurrection. Because it is when you and I interact with Christ's resurrection, you are interacting with life. You're not interacting with death. Too often time, we are dealing with too many death issues today. We deal with relational death. We deal with friendship death. We deal with many kinds of death. As a matter of fact, a recent report says there are they are trying to protest against abortion in America because apparently from a certain number of years, they actually discovered there were 55 million babies being killed. We are talking about a short range of time. People in this world are always and constantly deal with death. Unforgiveness is an issue of death. Bitterness is an issue of death. That's why God says he's going to take hold of us. Why? Because he wants us to interact, engage with Christ's resurrection. And when you engage yourself with Christ's resurrection, you engage with life every day. So I want to say this to you. Get yourself involved with life. You know, when you do that, your connection with the hurting people will offer hope and open up doors for healing and also forgiveness. My brothers and sisters, let Christ take hold of us. Because the moment He took hold of us, life is interacted between Him and us. And I see likewise in the book of Jonah, God took hold of him and said, I want you to go to Nineveh and preach the word. God took hold of him to fulfill God's plan, because it speaks about life, and He wants us to interact with life every day. So God took hold of David to fulfill His plans to be the king and to bring in the heritage and inheritance into the land of Israel. God took hold of Abraham to fulfill the promise that God spoke about in regards to the promised land. God took hold of Nehemiah and realized that he is there to rebuild the wall so that the enemy will not easily plunder the city or the town. I pray God is taking hold of you, because I believe God took hold of me, and He's still holding on and saying, fulfill my plans. God is taking hold of us. You see, God's plan is not about becoming what other people already become. God is taking hold of me to become what He is working in my life. The future of our life must be within the range of God's future for us in His mind. So my challenge to you is this. Ask yourself, God, are you taking hold of me? I believe that when Christ took hold of us, He is expressing Himself as a very personal God, a personal Lord. He cares for your outcome. He cares for what consequence you go through. He cares for the result that you are facing right now. He cares. And you ponder and say, are you sure God really cares? Yes, He does. He said, but I don't see my problem solved. You see, a lot of time, we always think when the problem is solved, then only we paralyze it and say God cares. But how often time that God in His time, He makes all things beautiful. Amen. And during the whole phrase, in His time, there is a space of time where you feel as though God doesn't care. But I pray today that you will not forget. The fact is this. Ultimately, in His time, He makes all things beautiful. Ultimately. You may be going through a process as though God is not intervening. But I tell you one thing. God is already operating a situation. We just need to know that. He's a personal God. He took hold of our arms. Which means to say not only that He's personal, but He's trying to say your future is in my hands. Your future, your tomorrow is in my hands. So the present work of God right now is going to affect your future. Every decision that you make today, as long as within the range of God's plan for you, you will notice that the present situation is going to affect your future. I've seen that, and many of those who have lived longer than me and much older than me would truly say that a lot of things that happened in the past, yes, there are times mistakes were made, but God, in His time, He makes beautiful things. Am I right or not? He will. And He is, and He will be. The second thing that motivated Paul to exert is the word to win the prize. Paul used the image of a runner, like what you saw just now, determined in his mind to reach the finish line. Every muscle, every ounce of energy, every thought is focused onto the finish line. I don't care what happens. If anybody comes around, they're not going to stop me. I want to finish that place. To go right to the finish line. Paul was using that. And he says to win the prize at the end. Brothers and sisters, you know what? He is calling us to finish well. Somebody say amen. It's not about you having a great, you know, faith today, and then by the time you reach 60 years old, your faith began to wane, began to dwindle. No. In fact, when you start young, your faith should always be even stronger when you reach later part of your age. Too often times people always say, I start early, I was all on fire, and then all of a sudden, because of circumstances, my faith began to dwindle. I heard a lot of those things. I thought through many times. I know I walked through the journey of challenges. But I tell you one thing. My faith gets even stronger. My faith gets even stronger. I don't understand how is it that one who has tasted God's power and goodness could ever turn back and walk out. I don't. Somebody explain to me. And I could just sit down and visualize God has done so much. Sending his son to go through that horrific pain and death. Yet I could casually turn my back and walk out. I believe with all my heart that God is calling us to finish well. And you know what? In order to finish well, we need to be, or rather to have, a very good discipline. How many of you are sportsmen? Now, if you are involved in sports, I'm sure you cannot deny the fact that discipline is an essential part of your life. Isn't it true? I play a lot of games during my younger days. And I've learned a lot of discipline because our coaches will always tell us, in order to be a good sportsman, you've got to be very disciplined. It's not about how skillful we are. It's about discipline. Once you are disciplined, you will have a great potential to achieve higher goals. Let me explain to you why. There are some great men's biography, and I picked up one particular example. And I would probably like to illustrate my point in terms of the aspects of discipline. Those of you musicians, you probably know this name, but I'm not too sure how to pronounce his name. It's Paderewski. Paderewski, a great concert pianist. And he was recognized as one of the world's best pianists. But how did he achieve such stages? And I thought I'd read through and discover this, so I summarize it and tell you what he actually gotten through. He practiced the piano 8 hours a day for more than 50 years of his life. So Paderewski showed me a very important principle. One who is so disciplined, who practiced 8 hours a day. I know you work 8 hours a day, but this guy practiced 8 hours a day, like his job, but for 50 solid years. Now that shows me something. And I realized in Paul's letter, he was talking about to win the prize. But as he speaks about winning the prize, he mentions something. He says, forget what lies behind and strain forward. Now listen very carefully. I know I spoke about last week, do not, you know, look back or leave those things behind. But here is something else. Here there is this whole entire principle of discipline. He says, forget what lies behind and strain forward. He did not just say, forget what lies behind. Peter, no. When you need to do this both pole, you need to work on both poles, you need to have very strong discipline. A lot of time, We struggle even to leave things behind. Am I right or not? Leave those things behind you. Don't even think, but we constantly turn back and try to peep through again. And oh, you know, you feel frustrated. Every time you see the guy's face, you feel frustrated. Why? Because you're still looking back. It takes discipline, brothers and sisters. And not only that, you know what's the problem? If you start looking behind, you are not able to move forward. But Paul says, I leave things behind. It takes a lot of guts. It takes a lot of trouble. It takes a lot of energy to leave those things behind me and not allow them to overtake me. But I got to strain forward. Every time the things behind me is trying to catch up with me, I need to strain forward so that the things behind me would not come in front of me. It takes a lot of effort in order to finish well. Nehemiah was a classic example. His brother Hanani came over, reported what happened in Jerusalem, and now he has to find a way to get out from the courtyard of the king in order to get back and build a retaining wall and subsequently build a solid wall. You know what? He was looking and said, "What, Lord, these were the past. The people have disobeyed you. Because of that, the entire wall is broken. The city is in ruin. And now I need to go back to my homeland and build the wall." He saw the things behind him. And he doesn't want those things to stop him from going forward. He could easily say, these people, I'm already a cupbearer. I'm in the best position. I'm enjoying my life. The king is really giving me a lot of perks and benefits, you know. Why should I be bothered about what they have done? The disobedient bunch of Israelites, my own brothers and sisters, I could easily say, forget about it. But no, the Bible says he broke down, he cried and said, Father, say, open the door that I may go. And so, the book of Nehemiah tells me that he saw what was at the back, but he left those things behind and he strained forward. He moved forward to the extent that he wanted to build the wall. How many of us today would have such a discipline, forgetting what is behind, and move forward and build something for the glory of God? We must not allow the past to take over. Brothers and sisters, when we fall into an indisciplined life, we are always on the losing situation. God already said very clearly to Jeremiah that he planned to prosper us. Somebody say amen. He said 29 verse 11, "For I know the plans I have for you." He told the Israelites, "You guys are going to come back. And when you come back, I'm going to prosper you." He already stated that. So this verse has always been people's favorite phrase. But you see, we must always remember that we need to have a disciplined life in order to see the fulfillment of God's promise upon us. Indisciplined life will always be a losing situation because you will persistently hold on to your past. And consequently, you suffer in bitterness, emotional disorder, and mental disorder. You know what comes after that? Called loneliness. And loneliness is not just an emotional aspect, it will become an environmental aspect as well. Because loneliness is very conducive for people to plummet into depression. So I want you to know, loneliness is not just an emotional aspect, but it also is an environmental or an atmospheric situation for people to go deeper into depression. So during this time, I want you to realize that we must not probe into all these unnecessary issues because you keep looking back. Let me illustrate my point. In 1980, there is this president of the United States. He was elected. His name was James Garfield. But after only 6 months in the office, he was shot in the back with a revolver. And then he was taken to hospital when the doctor probed into his wounds with his little finger to see if he could locate where the bullet was. But he couldn't. He tried different probes, but he couldn't locate the bullet. However, they kept the president as comfortable as they could, and over the next 3 months, 16 different doctors each had a goal and trying to find the bullets. Can you imagine a bullet right inside you and they dig your flesh? Each one probed and poked. Joma, do you like that? Poke into the tendon at a time? Ooh, I'm sure Anna would love to do that. And through the months of summer, the president actually got weaker and weaker. Huh. Guess what? Finally, he died. And they found out that he didn't die from the bullet wound. He actually died from infection. All the probing, which the doctors thought would help him, eventually killed him. That's what happens when we keep probing the wrong things that has been done to us and never want to release them to God. You keep probing, it kills you. Infection sets in, and eventually it kills. Brothers and sisters, a disciplined life do not probe for those things. And so, we need to learn to leave some of the ugly things behind us. You know, actually, when I thought about leaving the things behind us, the Lord just sparked the truth right in my spirit and asked me to look into Luke chapter 9. If you have your Bible, Luke chapter 9, verse 62, it's only one verse. I'll read it to you, though. Jesus replied, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." When I was just thinking about what Paul is trying to say, I realized the intensity of the problem of looking back. And Jesus said those words, when you start to look back, you don't seem to fit for service in the kingdom of God. Wow. And Paul was trying to tell all of us, fix your eyes at the goal, at the finish line. Look ahead. Some of you here were in universities, and those who are not back yet will probably be saying this in their mind, you know, when they entered into university. After the first year, the second year, they all look forward for the graduation. They just want to get out of the university, and they just want to go to work or go for a holiday or whatever. They just want to have their graduation. Do you know something? When you and I have a very disciplined life, you and I will produce strength to finish the race. A very indisciplined life, let me tell you this, will not have enough strength to fulfill the dream. But a disciplined life will learn to let go of the past and strain forward. So I pray today that you learn to leave the ugly things behind you and look forward. When I say look forward, look out for the important things. Focus on the important things. What are you focusing right now? Are those important things within the kingdom of God's will? And I challenge you, every spiritual muscles you have need to be pushed to its limit, because there is a prize. We are here to win the prize. God has stated the prize is right there. So don't miss that prize at the end. I could see the prize. I saw the glorious prize. But a lot of time, while you are having indisciplined life, there will be a lot of distraction coming from all sides. And since your focus was there at that moment, but after that, when all the distraction comes, you lose sight of the finishing line. So God is saying, when you are more disciplined, you will push away those side things and focus yourself right to the finishing line. And that's exactly why discipline is very vital. Lastly, but not least, God has called me heavenward. Two travelers met at a junction on the road, one that leads the different direction to the other. And one of the travelers asked the other and says, "Which way do I go from here?" The other answered and said this, "That depends entirely on where you want to go. If you don't know where you are going, it doesn't really matter which way you go. Any road will take you there. And I thought that's true. It's so true. Do you really know where you are going? How many of you drive and drive to nowhere? I'm sure every time when we get into our car, we know we are heading somewhere. We are going somewhere. But if you are not going anywhere, you just want to move around, then there is no destination. But if you are heading towards somewhere and you know it, that is your destination. But there's something that triggers my thoughts every time when I read the scripture. He says, God has called me heavenward. Listen carefully. Your race, your journey must be divinely motivated. It must be divinely motivated. We are not running a red race, by the way. We are not running a campaign. We are not running for votes. We are running to win a prize that is divinely driven. How many of you know that your journey in life, within you right now, within you, check your heart, you are actually having a journey that is already divinely called. So if that journey that you are walking, it must be divinely motivated for you. Otherwise, you will not reach the place. But if you are trying to naturally push yourself, you will never get into the place where God wants you to do. It has to be divinely motivated. Because the scripture tells me that without divine motivation in our journey of life, then you do not have any bearing. You do not know where you are heading. You do not know where you are going. Because divinely motivated journey always has a direction. And I'm looking for that direction. We always say, Lord, show me the way. Lead me the path. Guide me. Lead me. How can you be guided and be led by God if there is no direction? So my challenge to you, if you want to move forward like Paul, then we have to know that every step you take must be divinely driven. Let's look at the scripture for a moment. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. Therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in a heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest. He says, who share in a heavenly calling. Look at the next verse. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that is so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. Our journey is divinely motivated. Brothers and sisters, we all are partakers of this heavenly calling. Am I right or not? You need to have this understanding. In order to move forward every day, you have to see that your steps has to be divinely motivated. That's why God called us heavenward. Simply means that your destiny is based on what Christ has done for you. Have you ever thought about that? What has Christ done for you? The little girl and the little kids right in those rooms, every single one were born eternally with a destiny. And all these kids have a destiny. But we as parents, do we know their destiny? We have to be divinely motivated to help raise up our children to move along the line where God is showing us that direction. Sometimes we ignore that direction and we thought, this is what I want my daughter, this is what I want my son to do, this is what I want my daughter to do. At the end of the day, if it's not within the range of God's future for their plan, they will never achieve great things in life. We need to move forward. Ultimately, the determination to move forward is simply this three. One, life is taken hold by Christ. Is God taking hold of you right now? If He is taking hold of you, by the way, then you should know what God wants you to do. Secondly, there is a need for a disciplined life in order to win the prize. If you want to win something at the finish line, hey, have a sense of discipline. Because without discipline, we will never be able to achieve. Thirdly, our call is divinely motivated with Christ as the ultimate focus. Your steps that you take every day, things that you do, decisions that you make, are they all divinely motivated? Are you structured in such a way that every time I decide something, God is driving me to do it? Somehow the Holy Spirit is convicting me. I must do that. Is your life divinely motivated? Brothers and sisters, I desire with all my heart to see all of you move forward and reach your ultimate goal. Somebody say, amen. Amen. Let's pray together.
You've been listening to Pastor Calvin Sim from Life Solutions Christian Church. For more information, please feel free to contact us by phone on 0410-985-432 or find us online at www.lifesolution.org.au.